This podcast is brought to you by our new Free America t-shirt. Whether you're buying dad a gift for Father's Day or you need a new t-shirt for this summer, this is the most patriotic, perfect shirt around. It's made in America and the price is right. Go to HowieCarShow.com, click store, and get your Free America shirt today.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Violent rioting, arson, looting of businesses and public property, assaults on law enforcement officers and innocent people, and even the murder of a federal agent. Such senseless acts of anarchy are not exercises of First Amendment rights.
Please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If you were at one of those protests, I would assume that you were infected. Worry about your 55-year-old grandfather or your 62-year-old grandmother. They can die from this virus. And by the way, you could too, but that's a separate conversation.
None of what you just said to me makes any sense.
We are not restricting people's right to protest. There are also obviously significant social issues, that are present, that people feel that they need to have a voice.
Oh, I see how it is.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
So you won't say to this committee whether or not you even read the document you signed that authorized spying on people associated with the Trump campaign?
I'll explain the process to you.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?
No, I would not.
How could you sign off on something with this number of misrepresentations that the FISA court later came back and said, this destroys our trust in the FBI? You signed off on it personally. How could this happen?
Unchained and unstoppable.
And their predicate for all of this is the Logan Act, which no one has ever been prosecuted under in the history of the Department of Justice. I guarantee you today, John Kerry is violating the Logan Act.
Can I get out of here, please?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 if you want to give us a toll-free call from anywhere. We're going to talk about some local Massachusetts issues here this hour. And this is from the New Boston Post. Restaurant owners, hair salon owners, pastors, and a Christian school are asking a state court to overturn Charlie Parker's executive orders that seriously limit what they can do during the panic. The plaintiffs, whose lawyers filed a complaint in Worcester Superior Court Monday, say Baker has been violating the state constitution by attempting to issue orders as if they were laws, which they say have to be approved by the state legislature, not merely promulgated by the governor. One of the plaintiffs is Carla Agrippino Gomes, and she's the owner of Antico Forno on Salem Street in the North End. And she's not happy, obviously, and she wants to open not at 25% or 50%, but at 100%. And Carla Agrippino Gomes, the owner of Antico Forno in the North End, is joining us now on the line. Carla, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Howie. Appreciate it.
So you're quoted in this story as saying you're thinking about opening tomorrow, but I'm told now you're going to wait for a while longer. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true, Howie. You know, we a bunch of restaurant owners in the North End, you know, we're getting together and we're talking, you know, weekly about what we want to do. And, you know I made those statements, but we actually were considering it because we're just all so angry. But, you know, I made those statements in anger, and none of us in the restaurant business, you know, will ever put our customers or our employees at risk. But in saying that, though, you know, what did our political officials do? They put everybody at risk when they violated their own COVID law, you know, and gave out permits to protest. So that's what made us angry, is that, you know, seeing people every day, you know, protesting and violating, you know, the laws that
the rules,
you know, the rules. Yeah,
they're not
laws.
That's the whole point of the suit, and that's what Frank Mendoza was saying last night. These aren't laws. These are just rules that this guy this governor has promulgated. And you know, there's some serious question about whether or not he has the right to do this.
Right. Well, he violated his own COVID rule, you know, and he gave out permits to protest. Well, the city did, or whoever did. You know, and I've had enough. Every day, you know, every week we listen to the cries of our employees, and, you know, we're all powerless to help them. And my heart aches for them, you know, and it's just, it's crazy what's going on. Believe me, I'm not putting business before health. But, you know, that's what angered us business owners, is seeing protesters without any means of social distancing, no wearing masks, which basically sends us a message that COVID-19 must be over. And if these people can congregate so closely together, like, what, did the coronavirus just all of a sudden disappear? You know, it's crazy. And we're just upset. We're angry. And we want to open up. You know, we want to open up 100%. We don't want to open up 25, 50%. We want to open up 100%, you know, and we're tired of listening to these phases. These phases need to be phased out. Enough is enough. We're tired of the complacency.
Can you break even with a 25% capacity?
You know, Howie, I have three restaurants. I also own Terra Mia on Salem Street. I own Antico Forno, and I own Cobblestone on Hanover Street. Antico Forno, I seat 100 people. At Terra Mia, I seat 50. So with the 25%, what do you think? No, absolutely not. You know, maybe in Antico Forno, I could seat, what, four tables? And Terra
four
Mia,
tables?
What am I going to seat? Well, you know.
Yeah, you can't. I don't know how anybody could make a profit on four tables.
Right. And now they want to give us this outside dining. Did you see the documents I sent over to you? I mean,
yes.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
I'll just hold it up here for the camera here. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. And I'll just give you a couple of things here. Describe the proposed type of temporary barrier to be used to create separation from traffic, e.g. planters, water-filled barriers, metal barriers. And then they say you have to describe site plan of a temporary extension of premise on sidewalk and or street, maybe hand-drawn or computer-generated. And it includes such thing as you have to put in street trees, including the edges of tree pits.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is. Today I went through it and I was ready to cry. It just says, this is ridiculous.
Let me just read another point here. Please utilize this link to complete the secondary questionnaire for a temporary extension onto public property. The review process cannot move forward without receipt of this secondary questionnaire.
Yeah.
It's bureaucracy run amok.
Definitely. Yep.
Yep. So what are you going to do?
We're going to be good little sheeple, I guess, and wait for the governor to tell us we can open. What else can we do, Howie? They'll confiscate our liquor licenses. So we'll really be out of business. And
Howie,
let me tell you, since I made that statement in the Globe, I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but I've already got two violations on my trash. So, and where my trash has been located for 27 years, next to Terra Mia. I already got two violations since I made that statement. So whether it's a coincidence or not, I can't say. But, I mean, it's just like a real funny coincidence that all of a sudden I'm getting written up now for trash that was already removed, just that the barrels were still there. So this is ridiculous.
You know what they say, Carla, you can't fight City Hall, even when City Hall's gone insane, I guess.
Yeah, this is it's just out of control, you know, and we've been waiting week after week, you know, patiently waiting for guidelines and assurances, you know, regarding opening, and we've received none. And week after week, they come out with their press conferences and they dangle the carrot in front of us, but nothing happens. Nothing moves forward. You know, how we will be closed 3 months. It's crazy. And, you know, just give us the opportunity to open safely. Some businesses have already been allowed and they're doing it safely. That's all we want, an opportunity to open safely and securely. That's all we want. And I know that the restaurant community can do it.
Did you support Marty Walsh in the last election?
You know what, Howie? Let me tell you something. I had a fundraiser for Marty Walsh before his first election, 2 weeks before he got elected. I had a fundraiser for him.
When he was an underdog.
Yeah.
He was an underdog at that time.
He was an underdog, and everybody in the North End was for the other guy and not me. I had a fundraiser for Marty Walsh. And I also had a fundraiser for Governor Baker. And none of that gets you anywhere, at least not me anyway.
What do you think? I mean, what's your feeling about those two guys now?
What do I feel? Well, you know what? Personally, I don't have anything against either one of them, personally. But I'm angry about what they're doing right now in just keeping us, you know, like I said, just dangling the carrot, not giving us any guidelines. I'm angry with the both of them because we need to open. 3 months down. Can't do this. Howie, we lost the marathon. We lost graduations. We lost Memorial Day. Now we'll lose the 4th of July.
Mother's Day.
We lost all the neighborhood feasts. We've lost tourism. We've lost everything. You know, I'm tired of their complacency. They need to do their job. Like Bill Belichick says, he tells the Patriots, do your job. Well, they need to do their jobs and allow us to do our jobs. Let us get back to work.
I want to ask you about just this checklist that they sent out last week. I wrote about it last week in the Herald. I mean, it's just almost insulting to people who've operated restaurants. They say designate assigned working areas, e.g. assigning zones to servers. I mean, of course you have zones. They're called stations, right?
Howie, if you walk in Terramia, the restaurant is one zone. I mean, are they kidding me? It's 400 square feet. Give me a break. Where's there a zone? There's no zone. You can't separate 6 feet. Is socially distanced 6 feet in Terramia. It's insane. So the waiter station is on top of the first table, pretty much. It's a small restaurant. Mm-hmm. I only have 12 tables in there. I don't understand all this. It's very frustrating. I'm very angry and upset over it, and a lot of us restaurant people are. Every day I walk through the North End and see other owners, and we all look the same. It's like we're all beaten down. It's terrible.
I'll read you one more. When possible, uh-huh. Reservations or call-ahead seating should be encouraged. Did you need to be told that reservations should be encouraged?
You know, yeah, well, this is what the guidelines say, but, you know, one restaurant, Terramia, does, you know, we basically work off the reservations, but Antico Forno is a family restaurant. It's pretty much a line. People that show up at your door, and they get seated. It's all too much. You know,
to
me, it's like they want this social distancing in the restaurants. But you know, did these protesters social distance? You know, what happens in another week when coronavirus spikes? Are we going to be locked down for another 3 months? Or if it doesn't spike and nothing happens, why not let us open 100%? Because these protesters were basically, you know, they were the ones in violation of the lockdown, right? They're out there. And if nothing happens to them, why can't we just open?
I know. Carlo Agrippino Gomes, it's great to talk to you. I'm sorry things are so bad, and I wish you the best. And good luck in court, and good luck in the reopening. Thanks for being with us. She owns Antico Forno and other restaurants as well in the North End. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
As a white person, you can and should be opposed to racism. You can learn and understand the effects of how it affects people. But when you make the space for people to open up, truly open up, when you really hear daily experiences of racism and what it means to people, particularly our black employees, it deepens the perspective.
So we'll ask the question we asked earlier, and a texter came up with it. If he's so concerned about listening to black people, isn't it his duty to renounce his white privilege as mayor of the city of Boston and to resign and to make way for Andrea Campbell, the president of the Boston City Council, who would automatically succeed him? And she's a black woman. She'd be the first black African-American mayor of the city of Boston, a female. And again, she comes from a very hard scrabble background. I think it would be only appropriate if he really means what he's saying, Marty, then you should give up the perks, the $200,000 salary, the Eagle Room, the Parkman House, whatever else you've got as mayor of Boston. 844-500-4242. Unlike home security systems that are so complicated you never use them, SimpliSafe was designed to be easy while protecting your whole home 24/7. Head to SimpliSafeHowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Why hasn't the FBI dismantled Antifa? Is it A, because it never occurred to them, or B, because they were just a little too busy interfering in the 2016 election?
B.
56% say A.
Really?
Yeah.
It's switched around even more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as they're going to our website, that's all I care about. 413 says, what a vindictive, power-hungry moron Walsh has to be to harass this restaurant owner who actually supported him. Talk about a power trip. Wow. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, I would say. Taylor, let's have Grace tweet out these documents that you have to fill out if you want to get an extension out into the sidewalk or onto the, I don't know, the road or maybe into the parking area. It's just amazing. The talk about bureaucratic overreach, and they just... I'll just read you a little bit of this before.
Can I get a chair that has one leg stuck in a sewer grate, please?
Well, I'll read some more of this when we come back, and we'll take your calls. And we're going to have another guest with us, the new mayor of Taunton. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Taunton has a new mayor. Our old friend, Sean O'Connell, she did such a great job in the legislature for a number of years, fighting for conservative causes and welfare reform, among other things. And she's now the mayor of Taunton. And there's a protest going on today in Taunton. And there's an amazing photo spread in the Taunton Daily Gazette. It's really good old-fashioned local journalism. They just went up and down the downtown area and just got pictures of everybody putting up plywood in anticipation of what might happen at these at this protest. And it's everything from City Hall to the police station to the barbershops, fashion stores, even a tattoo parlor is all boarded up. So we wanted to have Shauna on, the Mayor O'Connell, and just see how are things going tonight in Taunton, Shauna.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Good to be back after a while. well, you know, what do they call it? Baptism by fire here?
Yeah, I mean, this is, being a legislator, you have some responsibilities, but it's not like being mayor of a large city or a medium-sized city in a situation like this, is it?
No, nothing like it. But I tell you, Howie, I love my job. I love being the mayor. And, you know, we've been working all week to prepare for this. Our police department has done tremendous work, and we are the force that we have here will protect us if anything happens. Right now, There are people that have moved from where the initial rally was down to our Taunton Green, which is the center of the city, and there's about 300 or so people there contained at this point.
And how does it look for the problems always start after sunset, obviously, and that's still a ways off.
Yeah, so we're all here waiting. We have a command center. We have a lot of a ton of manpower here ready to take action if needed, and we have a zero tolerance policy. You know, I've been working with our police all week. They are just a great bunch of men and women, and we said, you know what, anything starts, they're gonna push it back down and not let it get out of hand. We're not gonna sit by with the attitude, well, let people get their frustrations out. That doesn't happen here in Taunton. We supported the initial, you know, rally because people were there peacefully. But I'll tell you, Howie, I mean, we wanted them to reschedule it because, you know, the problem is these rallies are what attract the people that want to come in and destroy and destruction. And if we could have postponed it, it would have been much better for everyone. The amount of time and resources and energy that we have had to put in all week to get prepared for today is immense. And our businesses, you just mentioned our businesses downtown. I mean, you drive by and the site is just unbelievable with everything boarded up. And we're talking about businesses that have been closed for how many weeks now? They're already suffering, and they have to go and spend all this money and all this time and hire people to board up all of their windows.
And how did you make the decision to board up City Hall? I mean, was that seen as a provocative act by anybody in the city?
Well, you know, I mean, you've got your people that are concerned that we're taking so many precautions, and I don't know where their head is at, but these are the precautions that need to be taken. I mean, you see what's going on across our state. We're being smart about it, and we're being prepared. But, you know, the unfortunate thing is the rally that they had was right across from the police station, right across from a nursing home, and right across from the new City Hall that is being extensively renovated because there was a fire there years ago. So, you know, the police saw those all as targets and wanted to take the precautions.
Why'd you give them a permit?
Make sure. We didn't. I mean, believe me, they tried to get permits. They didn't get permits for public places. So they went to this church, and from what I'm hearing, the people at the church asked them if they could help. We spoke with all of them, and we said, look, you know, we really would appreciate it if you could postpone this. Let's reschedule it. It's just that the environment is too charged right now. You know, we support a peaceful rally. We support your right to do this, but it'd be better for our community, for the nursing home. I mean, that's one thing we were really worried about. And they refused, and it's private property, so, you know, there's not much we can do about it. So we did what we needed to protect our community.
Is the nursing home boarded up as well?
They did not board up the nursing home, but it is right next to the police station, and the amount of manpower down there is they would never get through it.
Are the state police there as well?
If you ever saw what we have here, you'd be amazed.
Are the state police there as well?
Yeah, we've got state police here, National Guard, police offices from communities all over, not just surrounding communities, but even further away. Everyone is really supporting everyone else. We have hundreds of law enforcement here.
How many people are there at the protest that's going on right now?
So it looks like right now at the green in the center of Taunton, there could be somewhere from like 350 to 500 people there. And the police are all down there. They've got a circle around it. They're keeping them contained right now.
Are they outnumbered?
Well, I don't think if we brought everybody in that's waiting to be called on, I'm not sure that they would, you know, I don't think our police might not be outnumbered.
Do you think most of the people there are local? I mean, if not Taunton, from the surrounding towns, or are there outsiders, people from Brockton, from Providence, places like that? where there have been problems?
Yeah, there's outsiders. There's definitely outsiders here. There's a lot of local people, and I'll tell you, you know, the first rally that they had, it was peaceful. It was actually pretty nice. You know, it was people making their points and wanting to be heard, and that's fine. But we really tried to stress to them, you know, the organizers ahead of it, that you are a magnet. You're going to bring all of this destruction possibly here to our city, and we don't want that to happen. But they just, you know, they were hell-bent on doing what they wanted to do. So now we have a lot of people here in our city.
How do the merchants feel about this? Like you said, I mean, they've been, most of them have been shut down for 3 months now.
Yeah.
And they have to do this. What are they telling you?
They're pretty furious, Howie. You know, they're pretty furious that they have to go and take all these steps to protect their businesses. And I'll tell you, I've been in, you know, I don't even know how many meetings about this. And somebody, you know, here in our city comes into one of the meetings, and we're there with all the cops, and they say, well, you know, my concern is that I heard that there's businesses, business owners that are going to be in their businesses with guns and armed. And I'm thinking to myself, that's your concern? You know, they have a right to do that. You know, we're not advocating violence, but they have a right to protect themselves.
Right. They're on private property, their own private property.
So the concern wasn't that strangers from out of town are going to come in and destroy our city and destroy these businesses. It was that the businesses are trying to protect themselves. And that was pretty infuriating from a local, you know, official.
So is this a one-time deal, or is this going to happen again and again and again?
You know, I mean, well, we're certainly hoping it's a one-time deal. If anything else happens, we would like it to be, you know, sponsored by the city so that we have control over it and where it is. There's plenty of other places. We suggested other places, other times, and we were really disappointed that the organizers would not listen to it and just wanted to do what they wanted to do rather than having, you know, than cooperating. But you know what? We worked with them anyway, because the community is what's important to us, and protecting our businesses and protecting, you know, our community.
Did you mention that basically gatherings like this haven't been permitted because of the supposed danger for the last 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely against all of these social distancing protocols, for sure. They're like breeding grounds for coronavirus, right?
And they didn't care. Did they respond?
Sometimes that's what scares these people. I mean, one of the sheriffs, when the sheriffs or the DAs from some other county said, you know, if people are going to commit crimes and murder, they're going to have to face the fact that they have to go to jail and might catch COVID-19. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Spoken like someone who's never looked at the Massachusetts coronavirus dashboard to see who actually gets sick and dies from coronavirus.
I'm pretty sure you can guess who might have said that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Shauna, it sounds like you're doing a great job. You got everything under control tonight. Good luck when the sun goes down, and it's good to talk to you again. So I'm glad you're happy with your new job. And I, you know what, Shauna, I don't think, as much as we liked you at the State House, I don't think anybody blamed you for wanting to check out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, after 9 years, Howie, of banging your head against the wall, and even though it was tough, we were effective, and you helped me a lot, and all the listeners out there supported me, and, you know, we did get a lot of good things done, but, you know, it was time to do something closer to community, and you know, who knows? There's a long way to go, so who knows what's in store.
All right. Mayor Sean O'Connell. I like saying that. Mayor Sean O'Connell of the city of Taunton. Good luck tonight with the demonstrations. We appreciate you being with us. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
You really should check out the photo essay in the Taunton Daily Gazette. tonight. It's pretty amazing. It's the kind of stuff newspapers used to do more often than they do now, certainly. But it sums it all up. You can see the amazing expenses that this costs the city and the businesses, most of which have been shut down. And if you think it's just white people, there's a black woman who owns a clothing store in downtown Taunton, and the cut line says not only was she boarding up her shop, she's moving the merchandise out from the downtown area for this event. So that's the way people are reacting. It's just I'm glad Shauna's got the police department's back, as some of the texters are saying. But it's terrible that they've had to go to this expense, especially in a time of straitened finances for both the businesses and for the municipality. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, two things, Howie. A little bit on the new CDC statistics, and then protesters down here in Bern, Massachusetts this afternoon.
Oh, right.
The CDC recently released statistics that show that once a looter is infected by the AR-15 virus.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop it, Bob. Let's go. Mr. Garcia, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
Hello. Going to Mr. Carr. I want to ask you a question because in North, you know, you remember I tell you shutdown Monday?
Yes.
The mayor has 4,000 people on Tuesday, Raleigh and Newark. What the hell social distancing mean? You have about 4,000 people. If you find out, you give us some license to close all the street in Newark. You have about 4,000. And then the mayor says he's going to test everybody to make sure you don't have the corona.
Well, wait a second. I thought it was is it Be Still Monday or Be Still Tuesday? I can't remember.
No, Monday.
Monday. Okay, so it was Be Still Monday, and then you had the demonstration Tuesday. Is that it?
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, 4,000 people was there. And the mayor say, okay. He also, second question, you don't want to give it license, I heard, the city hall, because a lot of barbershops never pay taxes. And the beauty parlor also, you don't want to pay taxes. That's why you're not giving license so quick.
You know what, Mr. Garcia? I think now New Jersey is even, I mean, it's as backward as Massachusetts is getting everything back to normal and as backward as New York is, I think New Jersey has become even more backward than the states to the north.
Yeah, and I want to get my hair cut, and I talked to my barber, and I want to sweet talk to him. He said, no, you have to wait. And I said, what the hell going on? I'm very sick and tired.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. I got a haircut 3 weeks ago, Mr. Garcia. I live in free America right now, Florida.
What, you got in the basement?
No. I did get one bootleg haircut, but this one was a real haircut. It was actually in the newspaper. I got the first haircut in Palm Beach. It was great. I feel for you, Mr. Garcia, and you know, what can I say? Your governor went to the same high school as the governor of Massachusetts. They learned some very bad lessons. I had no idea that Needham High School was teaching that kind of authoritarian techniques. Thanks for the call, Mr. Garcia. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was listening to that blowhard Walsh. He's talking about violating rights and this and that. We got to be more real. But what about his union thugs? Remember when they got indicted for violating the civil rights of the two truck drivers that were non-union from the Cooking Channel when they came into Boston?
They yelled racial slurs at that Indian woman who ran that cooking show. Remember that?
Indicted. They were indicted and they got off.
Yeah, they did.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. I do remember it. That was the down in Milton. They first they were going to be in Boston, And they were giving them so much crap about not using union people. They just said, screw it, we're going down to Milton, and we're going to do it down there. And so the union thugs followed them down to Newton, down to Milton, and they, when they were inside doing their segment, videotaping it, their tires got slashed, and the female Indian host, very good looking woman, they yelled all kinds of horrible obscenities and racial slurs at her when she was there. Yeah, that was a very nice group of people. Marty's I'm not saying Marty would do something like that, but those are his boys. Those were they were Teamsters. He was a member of the laborers union, and those were team. There were some nice guys in that group. Some of them were like their grandfather. One of them, his grandfather was a hitman. Really, I'm serious. Talking a lot about gangsters, you know, Andrea Campbell's family and the Teamster guy that was indicted for intimidating. A lot of old stuff coming back to Boston. 844-500-4242. We're going to post these documents. We're going to tweet out these documents that you have to fill out if you want to get an extension on your real estate property to get the more tables for your restaurant. You're not going to believe it. Check out the Taunton Daily Gazette. I'm Howie Carr.